You know, before we get started this evening, we just sang in verse 10, because my soul in grave to dwell shall not be left by thee. I think of the statement that I've given you in the past, and it's not mine, but it is a tremendous statement. And that is, first of all, that we are all headed to that very spot, and that is the grave. We are all headed to the grave. The psalmist here writes, because my soul in grave to dwell shall not be left by thee. For the believer, his soul will not be left in the grave. It will not be left in the coffin. And as one has said, and regardless of what time this may be, that, and I'm paraphrasing this here on memory, I don't have it in front of me, but it says, there is a tree growing this day that will make up your coffin. Regardless of one's age, there is a tree growing somewhere that will make up your coffin. And for the believer, his soul shall not be left there. It will be carried away with the Lord, to the Lord. Those are wonderful words. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. We looked at Colossians chapter 1 this morning, and now we're going to move on to chapter 3. Chapter 3, 1 through 7, if you'll follow along as I read. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Just as a review from this morning, we need to keep in mind that this that Colossians is a letter that Paul was writing because Epaphras, the minister to the Colossians, had come to him with news that there were false teachers that were rising up in the church. And it was beginning to get a foothold in the church. They were in danger of relapsing into paganism with its gross immorality, particularly sexual sins. So, instead of Paul refuting directly this false teaching, point by point, Paul shows that all things are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. So, we have here briefly stated, the basic principles of the Christian life in chapter 3, 1 through 7. Now, I would ask you, have you ever attended the funeral of a Christian and looked at the body lying in the coffin? it's obvious that the person is dead and unable to respond to your voice or to your touch. And yet, if that person was a Christian, they are now alive in the kingdom of heaven. So what the Apostle Paul is instructing these Colossian believers and you and me is at the same time true of our life in Christ. Like the person that has died and gone to be with the Lord, they have moved from one sphere of life to another. So it is with the new birth. The old can no longer control us. And we are literally raised into a new life and a new set of values when one has been born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This was the second memory verse that I ever memorized. And it had tremendous impact upon me at that time because I was a new believer. And so it says to me, "Therefore, if any man," that's me, "be in Christ, he is a new creature." I was a new creature. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The word is actually creation. He has become a new creation. And that's how it is with the life of the believer. One has been born again. New birth. Just as the first birth, when that child comes forth from the womb, that's the first birth. The second birth is being born of the Holy Spirit. And it is just as much of a new birth as the physical birth. But at that time, the Scriptures say that you are a new creature, or a new creation, and that old things are passed away. All of the things that were important to you at one time are passed away, and now all things are become new to you. And that's how it was. And that's how it is. Now the Scriptures become alive to you. You can't get enough of the Scriptures. You want to read them more and more. You want the Word of God to speak to your very heart. Did you want that before? No. You didn't want that before. You didn't want anything of this. This was a closed book. But after one has been converted, it becomes an open book. An open book that you love. Because you love the writer of this book, the Lord Jesus Himself. Romans 8:8-9 say, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." This all has both of these verses, one from 2 Corinthians and the other one from Romans, all have to do with the new birth. So, that is by way of introduction. The point is that we're looking at in Colossians 3:1-7 is, if you have been risen with Christ, there are definite marks to be seen in your life. So you say, "Yes, I am a believer. Yes, I have been born again." There are described in these verses that we're looking at marks that should be characteristic of your life. Number one, seek, verse 1, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. These Colossians possess within themselves the life of the resurrection. So the power of this resurrection should be experienced by them to an even greater degree. Their union with the risen Christ should transform their entire life. They are now going to seek something different than what they have sought before. They're going to seek those things which are above. This verb, seek, implies a persevering effort. It is a persevering effort. It is more than just seeking something merely to discover it. See, a lot of times we look for something just to find out what it is. That's not what this word has its meaning in. It is a seeking to obtain something. So the emphasis is not on the seeking, but it's on the object that's being sought. And as the context would show us, the apostle has reference to such things as tenderheartedness, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, patience, a forgiving spirit, and then above all of these, love. Are any of those things, things that were in the life before the new birth? One is not necessarily tender-hearted, kindness, lowliness, meekness. These are not things that are preeminent in his life or her life. So surely, if the hearts of all believers are filled, if your life is filled with these bounties that are mentioned here by the apostle, because remember, here's what we need to get our arms around here, is that the apostle is writing to these Colossians to deal with these sins that are popping up in the church. These false teachers that are working amongst the church here. And that are gaining a foothold, particularly in regard to sexual sins. So Paul is instructing them that if as believers, because he's already established the fact in chapter 1 that they are all one. He and they are all one. Us and we. So he's saying, if you have these bounties of tenderness and kindness and lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and patience and a forgiving spirit and above all of these, love, there is going to be little room for all of these fleshly indulgences. This is the true solution here. If you are seeking to obtain these things that are above, you are gathering priceless treasures. Henriksen says that these are very practical treasures, which will enable you to gain victory upon victory in your struggle against fleshly indulgences. The more that you have these things in your life, the more that you have these things ruling your life, the less and less you're going to have room for all of these fleshly indulgences. The things that are above should not merely be thought as just some other worldly thing. These are spiritual matters. The thing that we are seeking is to be are the things that express Christ's love and compassion. All of these things that Paul is listing here are things that express the Lord Jesus' love and compassion. Isn't Paul just here just echoing the words that we looked at earlier this morning in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? The more that we are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all that that entails, the less we have room for all of this other stuff that would distract us and take us away from God. The three marks that we are looking at this evening are active and not passive, to seek, to set, and to slay. Number two, set your affections on things above. To seek and to set our minds on spiritual things is to establish our priorities with Christ at the pinnacle. So when we begin to put these into action, these two things here in verse 1 and verse 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. So as he's writing this letter, and as these Colossians are receiving this letter, he's telling them, you need to get your priorities right. Your priorities with the Lord Jesus Christ at the very pinnacle. This is a similar admonition that is very practical. It means that the Colossians are urged in this setting their affections. They are urged to ponder and to yearn for the things that are above, just as we looked at in verse 1. To seek and to set. So as you think on these things, to set your affections, that means that you're going to ponder these things, you're going to think about them, and that you're going to long for them in your life. A lesson for us to learn here might, on the surface, be missed. And that is that we should not just be focusing our preaching or our teaching against some particular sin. And in this case, it was immorality. But in addition to directing people to the glory of service rendered to Christ and His people. In other words, we don't just have our... Paul doesn't come out with a giant hammer and go after these people and telling them everything that they're doing wrong. He's telling them of the grace of God and how that their focus should not be upon these earthly and sensual things, but upon Christ Himself. This positive method of overcoming sin is a characteristic of Paul's teaching. Now, it doesn't mean that he's going to avoid or not to be direct in his ministry. But in Romans chapter 12, we read, overcome evil with good. Romans 13:14, this is all Paul's ministry. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, If there be any praise, think on these things. That verse in Philippians is one of the most grand verses in the Scriptures. When you are faced with some temptation in your life, if you can draw up from the reservoir of your memory Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brethren. And then the list that Paul lists here. Those things that are true. The things that are honest. If it's a matter of the truth. So now you're thinking about things that are true. Things that are honest. If it's a matter, if that temptation that's facing you is a matter of dishonesty, now you're thinking about things that are honest. Things that are just. Things that are pure. Things that are lovely. Of good report. Virtuous. If there be anything, any praise, think on these things. While we are thinking on those things, it is very difficult to be consumed with the matters of the flesh that attack us in the matters of the flesh when we are thinking about the Word of God. Are those sins that are just specific to the Colossians? How did this letter end up in the Bible? A part of the Scripture to this seeming insignificant town that was wasting away, Colossae, to this church which was in the midst of this, and which was a church that was struggling, and a church that Paul didn't even found himself, had never met them. He had never visited Colossae. And it's believed that he never did. And yet he sent this beautiful letter to the Colossians. And is for our instruction even today. Is that important for you and I? Absolutely, yes. Colossians 3, 12 and 17. Let's turn there. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Paul says here again, he's saying, in verse 8, he says, "But now ye put off all these." And then he gives a list. Put off all of these. But now in verse 12, through the end of the chapter, he says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." Brothers and sisters in Colossae, you are the elect of God. This is what I want you to do. I want you to put on these. Holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That is the message that Paul sends to these Colossians who are struggling with false teachers at this point. This is the only way to effectively put to death the members that are upon earth. It's never going to be done any other way. And we need to keep that in mind. Number three, mortify or slay. So we are looking at seek those things which are above, set your affections on things above, and slay your members which are upon the earth. We would ask, how is it that this can be done? To slay or to mortify the members which are upon earth. Is the apostle telling us to kill ourselves? No, of course not. But I'll try and explain it like this. As long as we are living, our condition and our state do not wholly coincide. If you have been born again, your state is even now perfect. Without any sin, you are wholly justified, completely, completely forgiven. You have been forgiven of your sins. You will be in heaven with the Lord. All because of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Whether you're up or whether you're down, because that state will never, ever change.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Now, do we struggle with sin? Yes, of course we do. What is meant here? By mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. To put them to death is what Paul is saying. You need to put these things to death once and for all. And what are they? What are these things? Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. John Calvin says that these vices are called members. They are called members here in the text. Since they adhere so closely to us, in Romans 8:13, Paul tells us, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." The list of vices are mentioned by Paul. The same list of vices are mentioned again in Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and now here in Colossians. So is it something that is common? Yes, it is. It's all too common. And it needs to be dealt with. So here is something we should never forget, and that is the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian treatment of these vices is that apart from Christ and the fullness of grace imparted by the Holy Spirit, there is no power in the world to put these things off. One is not just going to get up in the morning and say, I'm not going to do this, whatever that this is, any longer. I'm just not going to do it anymore. These vices that Paul is talking about here, this immorality, because it is a matter of the heart, far inside here, it's a matter of the heart. And only the Holy Spirit working in the believer is going to give one power over those sins. Another statement by Hendrickson. There is, get this, there is no material cure for a spiritual ill. And that heaven-born individuals cannot gain satisfaction from earth-born remedies. Christ alone is the answer. Period. I'll read that again. There is no material cure for a spiritual ill. And that heaven-bound individuals cannot gain satisfaction from earth-born remedies. Christ alone, He is the answer. There's an actual arrangement of these vices that the apostle lists here. In verse 5, there are five vices listed that describe the sinner as he is in himself. The first four deal with sins of a sexual nature. And these evil deeds spring from evil thoughts. It is the evil disposition of our heart and will which is the source of our wicked thoughts and deeds. In verse 8, there are five more vices listed. And they have to do with our relationship to our neighbor. What have we looked at here? What have we looked at? We have looked at the marks that are to be seen in your life as a believer. We are to seek those things which are above. We are to set our affection on things above. And we are to slay those sins in our life. So as I stated at the beginning, the point, if we have been risen with Christ, there are certain marks that must be seen in our life. Praise the Lord for those marks. Praise the Lord for God's Holy Spirit working within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this letter being in the Scriptures, being a part of the Scriptures. Thank You, Lord, for this letter written to this very small church in Colossae. Thank You, Lord, for these words that Paul has written to these fellow believers. Thank You for His tenderness. Thank You for His kindness, His gentleness, His forbearance, His patience, His long-suffering, and above all, His love for the brethren in this address. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that this letter not only comes to the Colossians, it comes to us here tonight. And we thank You for it. And we ask Your blessing upon Your word to our minds and to our very hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.